Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Well, good evening, everybody. God bless you on this Christmas Eve. So thankful to come to you now these 19 years in a row having this powerful, holy, hallowed service on Christmas Eve. Why don't you turn to the person on the right and the left of you and wish them a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and your family. So glad you've chosen to be here tonight. For the past 19 years, as I said, my wife and I have had this tradition, along with this amazing church family, of having Christmas Eve candlelight communion. And for the first time in all those years, we are not with you in person, but we are with you in spirit. And I'm so thankful for this stream coming to you to bring you a great word on Christmas Eve as we prepare our hearts in celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Going to look at five different stories that take place at the birth of Christ. And from these five stories, we're going to see faith illuminated. We're going to see a beautiful picture of faith in the midst of the birth of Christ through five different characters. And it's going to be a powerful, powerful time. Are you ready? Wonderful. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. Move in great power, God, now as I share that which you've written upon my heart on this very special Christmas Eve. Touch the heart of every man, woman, and child. Bring comfort to those who are hurting and those who are grieving. Bring encouragement to each and every one, as it says in Hebrews, to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of us would turn away from the Lord. So touch your people, touch all of us now, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wonderful. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 11, it says that they overcame him, talking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and their word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. This Christmas story, there's five testimonies that really stand out to me, and I believe they're going to minister to you in a special way to bring to light your faith. In fact, I've entitled this Faith Brought to Light at Christmas. Faith Brought to Light at Christmas. The first one is Mary. Her faith is seen in Luke chapter 1. And would you turn there with me? It'll be on the screen as well. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And it reads, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who's to be born will be called the Son of God.' Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now her sixth month, for she who is called barren is now pregnant." Verse 37, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed." Verse 38, Mary said, "Wow, behold, the maidservant of the Lord." So the angel departs and there's Mary. Here's the thing I think most of us don't understand about this first character, Mary. She surrendered to God. Faith is seen as surrendering and trusting, even though you might not know how it's all going to happen, especially the overshadowing. Mary could have said no. You know, we have in our mind that Mary just had to do it. Well, Mary didn't just have to do it. Neither do you. All of us have a choice of whether we'll surrender to God or not. And Mary chose to obey the Lord. We have a free will. Theologians call it the glory of man. You might remember that song years ago when I was when I first came to Christ. Pastor Karen and I, there was a song sung in the church. I surrender all, how many of you remember that? All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. And we would come to the altar and surrender. You know, a lot of people don't surrender. Mary's faith is seen as surrendering to the Lord, even though it ruined her current plans. And not just hers, Joseph's, who we're going to look at in just a moment. She surrendered. Faith is seen in her life in many ways, but one of those ways is surrendering to the will of the Lord. Wow. Joseph, as I said, is seen also, but his faith is different. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, I'll read to you on the screen now as well. Matthew 1 and verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. So understand what's happening. Joe finds out that Mary's pregnant. She says, I'm overshadowed. He's like, right. That doesn't look good. And basically, she could have been killed for basically impurity and committing the act, being impregnated, of course, by the Father and the overshadowing in the most holy way. But other people didn't understand that. And I'm sure Joseph, who's betrothed to her, doesn't understand either. So he's just going to put her away quietly because he's going to keep his righteousness. In other words, he doesn't believe her. And then comes the angel. While he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she'll bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, was spoken by the Lord, the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, verse 25 in the King James, and knew her not. Everybody say he knew her not. Knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. What does that mean? What it means is he took her as his wife, but he didn't touch her. He didn't consummate the marriage. And children here, the biblical understanding of to know is the most intimate expression between a husband and wife. And he didn't do that. He was a man of obedience. He was a man of self-control. I don't know if you remember when you first got married. I won't go into all that. But Joseph got married and didn't touch her until Jesus. Come on, someone say he didn't touch her. He didn't touch her till Jesus was born. That's what that says. He knew her not. Obedience has to be lived out in our life. It's lived out in Mary's, lived out in Joseph. He was obedient. And Joseph's obedience to protect the child and to guard over that which was holy. I mean, to move them to Egypt as genocide came from the insane King Herod. He obeyed again. So faith is seen in Mary as she surrendered, but it's also seen in Joseph as he obeyed. Faith at Christmas. Faith is brought to light at Christmas. God wants to use you in ways that you might not be aware of. He wants to use all of us. But the key to that is surrendering to God and is obeying his word. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, you must trust and obey. Wow. I don't think Joseph knew his act of obedience would bring fully, but he did. He obeyed. The next one we want to look at are two different ones. They're together in the text. It's powerful, Simeon and Anna. And faith is revealed. Their story is not often told at Christmas, but it's 8 days later, after Jesus is born. They come to the temple in verse 25, which reads, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? He's waiting for the Messiah. He's waiting for the Messiah to be to be revealed to him. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came in by the Spirit. That's a whole message in itself. He's led by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting me, your servant, depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which is so profound because the word for salvation is Yeshua in the Old Testament. So literally, why he's holding the baby, catch this, why he's holding the baby, he's blessing God. You fulfilled the promise, that which you've revealed to me. He's saying, my life is basically over. Here is the promise of your salvation. Here is a promise of your Yeshua. Here is a promise of your Jesus. He actually says Jesus' name, which is Yeshua, which means salvation. It's a pretty beautiful moment. He contended this whole time waiting for the consolation of Israel. Wow. In verse 36, you see this one Anna, a prophetess, which is profound because it's still the Old Testament, really. Now the New Testament, Jesus is born, but she's a prophetess. In her great age, she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. I've had many people try to figure out how old she is. But she comes in, she was fasting and praying her whole life in the temple for what? For Yeshua, for Jesus, for the Messiah, for the consolation of Israel. It's two people, Simeon and Anna, both persevered. Faith is seen as perseverance. If you have a 50-cent view of God that he has to do things instantly, like your microwave operates at home, you're going to have problems. I mean, you're not going to see all that God wants to do. There is a persistence that you have to have. You have to persevere. You have to contend. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You know, it's taken a lot of perseverance here in Alaska these 19 years. And the best is just ahead. There's so much ahead for us. How about for you and for your family, for your loved ones, people you're praying for? You look for God to just be an instant God, you might end up being disappointed. So oftentimes, people have the mistaken idea that God is instant, and he is not. Instant food's not real good for you. You know, the best food is that which is home-cooked. I don't know about you, but I'd been eating a lot of Christmas cookies myself. And they're not the kind where, you know, they're made by Pillsbury and you cut. I mean, I like those too. I like every kind of cookie. But my wife can cook. My wife can throw down cookies for Christmas. And they're amazing. And they take a long time for her to make. All done by scratch. Everything done, all organic ingredients. Taking long and loving care to make those incredible cookies that have made me a lot bigger than when I first entered into the holiday season. When you contend and you believe and you persevere, God does more than you could possibly imagine. And if you quit, what's going to happen? Persistent widow in Luke 18. We've got to be persistent. And I'm grateful that we're a church that's persistent here. This whole next year, be persistent in contending for God's promises. The fourth one of the shepherds. And the shepherd's story is so beautiful. They're Levitical shepherds. As I preached last Sunday, they're Levitical shepherds, and they are out in the night, and the angels come, this incredible worship time with the angels, and the angels speak to them that there's the Messiah is going to be born. It'll be a sign to you. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling cloths. And so they go. They confess and they go and tell everybody what the Lord showed them. They become the first evangelists. So at Christmas time, faith is brought to light in Mary through her surrender. It's brought to light through Joseph and his obedience. It's brought to light in persevering. Faith perseveres, Simeon and Anna. And here the shepherds, faith is shown in their declaration and their obedience as well. But they went and they declared. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us tell the world what we've seen. You know, your confession, of course, confession related to confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's powerful. You're going to have a moment to do that if you've never done that before. But it's also testifying about what God has done, about what God has shown you. It's testifying of the good things of the Lord. And the second thing that they did, these shepherds, is they praised God. We need to be a people that just praise the Lord ongoingly all of our lives. In the midst of challenges and trials and difficulties, we would praise God. Praise him in all things. The fifth group of these wise men. The wise men are very special. They come from Persia. They're disciples of Daniel, we believe. And they come and they travel for 2 years. Now, I don't think it took 2 years for the direction, but they were led by 2 years. So I think they went home perhaps a little faster. So maybe it was 2 years and 6 months to get home. But 2 years and 6 months to worship Jesus, it was a sacrifice. Sacrifice. Faith is seen in the wise men through their sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice if you're going to be a part of the military. You're going to have to sacrifice if you're going to fulfill God's plan in your marriage. You're going to have to sacrifice. Can I get an amen from the married couples? You're going to have to sacrifice if you're going to see your business move forward. You have to sacrifice to see the kingdom of God move forward. We've had to sacrifice to be where we are in this great church and the vision of King's Cathedral and chapels. It requires sacrifice. You always are going to have to go up the mountain with the fire and the knife. At Christmas time, let God birth forth these things that you see in these characters in your life. Surrender, Mary. Obedience, Joseph. Come on, what's the third one? I don't know either, so let me look. It's the third one. Perseverance, I got it. Perseverance, Simeon and Anna. What's the fourth one? The fourth one is the shepherds making a declaration, sharing our faith, and praising God, being filled with praise. And lastly, the wise men, being people that sacrifice and being people that are committed, devoted is another one you could use with the wise men. Not only at Christmas time, but all the year long, let these expressions be released in your life. And what'll happen is you'll encourage others, even as we're being encouraged as we read these testimonies, these witnesses at Christmas time. It brings forth a greater understanding of what they went through. Let us encourage one another daily. Let us encourage one another throughout the year to be people like they were. Let's commit ourselves to grow in the Word. Commit to be in the house of God, not just at Christmas and Christmas Eve. I'm glad you're here. Let this not be the only time you're here all year, Christmas and Easter. Commit to grow in God. Commit to live a life of surrender and obedience and perseverance and a life of confession and declaration and a life of worship. Commit to live that way all the year long. Find yourself in one of these life groups that we have or one of these teams that we have here at the church. And watch what God will do. He'll do miracles. He did miracles through these. You know, you're modeling what it is to live for God or not. For my kids, my wife and I have endeavored to be a model of faith to them, but not just to them, to you, in these 19 years now. And we have no plans of them going anywhere, but God is going to continue to do what he said he would do, believing that God will give us 10% of the population. That requires commitment. That requires sacrifice. And I'm so glad that you're here to do it along with us. But understand that your life is affecting those that see you. Your children are watching you. They will do what you do more than what you say. So be a model for faith. And lastly, share your faith. Share your faith. Go tell it on them. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it. Go tell people. Reach to your neighbors. Invite people to be a part of church this coming Sunday. And New Year's, we have a special service. I'll be back preaching to you live. Not live on video, but live in person. My wife will be and I will be back on the 31st. And got a wonderful worship night for the young adults. You be a part of that. Wednesday night service at 7 on New Year's Eve. Be a part of what God is doing. Let your faith be seen at this Christmas time. Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a moment all across this place and those online? If you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. We'll receive communion here in just a moment and we'll light the candle. It's going to be a beautiful time. But before we do that, examine your heart. Where are you at with God? Give your life to Jesus. Surrender to him. Obey him. Come up to him. Call on him. Why, he may be found. He's as near as the words in your mouth, the word of God says. Repent of your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself the greatest Christmas gift there is. Give your life to Christ. It's the greatest gift that there is. Would you bow your heads all across this place? If that's you, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or in a recommitment, pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I ask you today to come into my heart, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me for all of my wrongs. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.